Oh, Jesus knows all about our struggles, and He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend but the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen. Let's see, we got not too many here tonight, so probably quite a few online. Let's see, we got Anna, the Field family, Marianne, Mary, Peter and Charity, Ray, Ron and Pam. Field say, please pray for our healing of colds and coughs. Mary says, thanks for your prayers for this week. And Ray says, keep Zoe in prayer. She's not feeling well. So lots of stuff going around still. Anything else? Prayer requests tonight? Emma? Trip to Michigan, yeah. And everyone else who's traveling over the holidays, too. When do you guys leave? Sunday after church? Okay. Yeah, good to see you, Elisha. Amen. Okay, yeah, Mary's still got a bunch of stuff ahead of her, so keep her in prayer. Greg, too. He had a big project today, and he wasn't even sure if he was going to make it, but the Lord made a way, so grateful to have him here tonight. Yeah. All right, let's just pray. Father, thank you that you know all of our needs, like even before they come up, Lord. They're just things that are ordained to point us to you. But we're not supposed to just grumble and complain and live with them. We're supposed to bring them to you in faith and trust that you have the remedy. And so, Lord, we lift up those who are fighting sickness now in Jesus' name and ask that you touch their bodies and make them well. For Zoe and for the Field family and for anyone else who's fighting that stuff. Lord, we pray for Mary with the upcoming doctor's appointments and tests that she has, and Greg too. Just continue to heal their bodies, Lord, and make them a testimony to those that they come in contact with. For everyone who is traveling, pray that you'd be with them too, Lord. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're in your hands, Lord. We bear your light, your life, your name. Just pray that that would shine in a dark and dying world. Thank you again for the time here together tonight. And just again, ask your blessings on it. Just feed our hearts and our souls, Lord. Lift us up in you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what else should we sing? Satisfied, number 30.
All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, hold me still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.
Who I am. What do you think? I think it's G.
Oh, glorious victory, that day he set me free and made my heart his very throne. My life is no longer mine, I'm a prisoner of love divine, and now I live. God's great mystery of love expressed in me, that Christ and I might be made one. Who I am, Lord, who I am, I can see. I am part of my Savior, part of his world.
else? That's great. Come, let us adore him. Just the chorus or the whole thing? Okay. Yeah. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come.
More than enough, so much more.
And as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. Desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we're so thankful for your love and your light and your presence with us in this hour, Lord. We believe your word is true above all else, above our condition, Lord, above our experience of the day. Lord, your word reigns above all things, Lord. What we think or what we feel, Lord, we want to subject ourselves and surrender ourselves completely, Lord, to your purpose and to your plan, Lord, which we know that comes to us through your word, Lord. Not merely by words on a page, but spiritual revelation that comes from the words on the page that enters into our hearts, Lord. So that's our desire. That's the end of why we've come here tonight. I hope for each one of us, Lord, is to be to receive more of your word into us, that we'd be more like Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we want to commit that time to this end, Lord. We ask that you'd anoint both speaker and hearer. Lord, may each be anointed, Father. Those in the congregation, may they be anointed to pull on the word, to pull on the gift, Lord, that the word would come forth and speak to them. They can, by their faith, they can direct the whole service to a need that they have in their life, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just be sovereign over our hearts and minds and lead us and direct us and anoint us and help us all to get ourselves out of the way. We commit ourselves to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You can turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and I want to look at tonight, quickened into the seventh seal, sons of God by faith. So, Galatians 3, and we'll read 24 through 29. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. And so I want to study some in the scriptures and in the message and look closely at the great work that the Lord is doing in our lives to call us and to bring us into sonship. In this hour, we have such an incredible work that the Lord is doing to bring us a revelation of the mysteries of the Bible through the opening of the seven seals. In particular, the seventh seal is to finish the mystery of God. Revelation 10:7, that's a part of the seventh seal, finishing the mystery of God. And as we've learned from Brother Branham's teachings through the scriptures, the mystery is threefold. And it's, in fact, it's God revealed in fullness in Christ, and then revealed in fullness in the bride to gain the preeminence, and then restoring us back to the oneness of the Garden of Eden. So knowing who we are and what sonship means is so critical to our preparation for the rapture. It's directly connected, knowing who we are in him. And next, there's also a great aspect where, just as the Jews had to make a transition from the law to Christ, so do we need to make a transition from the closed book to the open book, from awaiting the coming of the Lord to experiencing the revelation of the coming of the Lord in the seventh seal. The Lamb took the book, broke the seals, and he's put us into that redemption, final redemption process. He said it couldn't go on. Brother Branham said, couldn't go on 40 years ago or even 2,000 years ago when Christ came on. It's going on just recently. It's going on now. So the final process of redemption is taking place when in 1963, when the Lamb took the book and broke the seven seals off it. That's the title deed to the earth and to redemption. It's the title deed to the bride. And so he took the book, he broke all seven seals, and now we're entering into that process. It's a turning of a corner. We have to transition from merely waiting for something to happen to experiencing what God is doing today, that he's here in a different way than he's ever been here before. His coming to the bride is being fulfilled in us now. And so we have to make that transition. Oh, I'm waiting. No, I have the revelation. I'm walking in it. The coming of the Lord is in me. And so that's why Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5, salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. It's been revealed already in the last times, in us, from the prophet messenger, the seventh church age messenger, he has revealed it to us. Now we take that revelation and we must speak that revelation. Brother Branham, in It Is the Rising of the Sun, says, he's referring to the picture of the cloud. He says, in that they didn't know what it was, and we knew. Just look this away, and it's our Lord up there, you see. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of seals then? Revealing Christ. And the very seven angels, which represented the seven churches, all completed, and we couldn't even see it. They did. They took the picture, not us. And there he is, standing there, supreme judge, showing that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What identification, quickening power did that? No. Quickening power did that to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're quickened into what? The revelation of the seven seals. We have to be quickened into it. It's not enough for us to just give mental assent to it. Oh, yeah. We have to be quickened by the Spirit into the revelation of who's here. The standing there, the supreme judge, the white-wigged one, here to do what? To open those seals, revealing what? Christ to us. And so that's a transition. There's a transition. We can be stuck over here saying, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. But then there's a transition. We have to come by revelation to say, the seventh seal has been opened and revealed unto me. And there's a mysterious part of that. We know that. There's a part of it that came to Brother Branham in unknown tongues. He didn't know what it was. It has to be quickened to the heart of the bride, not by mere words. We're going to line it out. We're going to get 7 points, and we'll tell you what all they are. No, it's a spiritual revelation to you personally. Galatians 3:10 through 14. Amen. So if you're looking at the Galatians, they had a struggle and they had a fight and they had a battle with this transition. Oh my, it was so difficult. Paul was bringing them into the transition. They received it. Somebody else said, you know, actually, if you really realize, you better get circumcised and you have to follow the law of Moses, then you can be a part of the covenant. And they're like, oh, whoa, I didn't know that. Well, thanks for telling me. And so they start going in that direction. And Paul becomes disturbed and upset by what's happening. And so he's writing to the Galatians about this evil that's happened, this destruction that's happening. Because he's pulling them, these people, these false apostles are coming and pulling them back from the transition that God had made. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Amen. And for many years, the message was what? A law. What was the law? You can't wear this. You can't do this. You can't watch this. You can't have a Christmas tree. You can't. And on and on and on, all the laws that we had to follow. And that was okay. It was a schoolmaster to do what? To get us to Christ. You say, for me, it was Christ all along. Sure, of course it was. For the Jews, it was Christ all along. If they had real faith, it was Christ all along. But there had to be a transition from where we saw the message as a list of rules and do's and don'ts to where it becomes a revelation that it changes our nature, that it makes us different, that it transforms us. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. So we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's keep going. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So they heard it, and what happened? Their hearts were quickened. And what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them when their hearts were quickened. So they heard that word, and the Holy Ghost fell. So they received the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then let's go back to the beginning of Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So these are obvious answers to these questions. They didn't have to come and say, okay, I got circumcised and I followed the law and I went and dipped myself in the mikveh every time I came to church and I did all the outward signs of the Jewish religion. No. what was it? The word was preached. They said, amen. I believe that. And they were healed, or they were filled with the Holy Spirit. My goodness, what a difference. We have to work ourselves up to the thing. Okay, now, everybody's got to go to the special meetings. We got to go to the special meetings to receive the Holy Ghost because your pastor's not good enough to preach for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Or you can't get this experience on your own, in your own home, or in your own car, like I did. You know, God works in all of these different ways. We even see that through the book of Acts. Some of them got them in a little private meeting. Someone got it in a public meeting. Someone got it in the public sphere. God worked and moved in different ways. God works in youth meetings. He works in special meetings. God works in your home. God works in the local church. He moves and works by that. It's not the outward form that's important. It's what? What is the common denominator for that Paul is telling us? Hearing of faith. Again and again, if you want to receive a miracle from God, how are you going to receive it? By hearing the word with faith. You can do that here. You can do that at home. You can do that at a special meeting. You can do that at youth camp. All of it. But it's the important part isn't the meeting or where it is. The important part is hearing with faith. Again, Paul says, he's chastising them and almost mocking them for their foolishness. Just let me ask you a question. When I came and preached to you and the Holy Ghost fell in the service and you received the Holy Spirit, was that by the works of the law? Or was it... Did you receive the Holy Ghost? Which time did you receive the Holy Ghost? When you were there listening to the word and you believed it and you received it? Or did you receive the Holy Ghost after the other Jews came and said, all right, get circumcised, follow the law, do this, you can't eat this, you can't do this, you can't go here? No, we didn't receive the Spirit then. We received the Spirit when you were preaching the word. And I think that's the key thing to understand. If we're going into meetings, we're going into young people are going to youth camp. Wonderful, praise the Lord! I'm so happy. I always encourage young people to go to youth camp. But what is it going to do? Is it the youth camp is magical and it's going to change you? It's not the youth camp. It's the hearing of faith. It's hearing the word and saying, I believe that. I want that for myself. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, change me. In the Laodicean church age, Brother Branham says, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes open to a true spiritual revelation of the word. A man without the Spirit of God is blind to God and his truth. If you're getting what I'm saying is you see so many times just a simple thing. You're sharing with someone and you begin to speak to them about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're showing him through the Gospels and you're showing him through the book of Acts. And the next thing you know, what's the response? Why does that matter? I'll do it the way Jesus did it. Okay, if you do it the way Jesus did it, then you do it the way the apostles did it, because that was Jesus living and walking in the apostles. You don't have scripture contradicting scripture, and we're going to have this scripture override this scripture. Let's just why don't we cut out the book of Acts and maybe some of the epistles for you so that you'll be pleased and it'll be well with you. This is crazy. It's all the word of God. But you come to that point and you speak to someone and they can't say amen to the word, because they're doing it with natural eyes and natural thinking. They can't receive the things that come from the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Or the other case is like my experience in Egypt. Preached water baptism, everybody's like, all right, this is wonderful. That's the truth. All right, let's do it. Okay. Did you talk to the people in the church? Did you talk to people in church? Maybe you can do that for us. Okay, so you're going to invite people and we're just going to baptize them without talking to them beforehand? Sure, it's fine. Oh boy. All right, let's call the pastors together. I want to speak to you about Malachi 4. And the next thing you know, let's kick him out. Let's send him and Megali back to Cairo. What is it? You go through the process. You give a little bit of word here, a little bit of word of there. What is it? Only the Holy Spirit can quicken it. I explained it as logically as I possibly can explain it to all of them. It wasn't that they said, hey, look, you're misinterpreting the Bible. It says, don't say that at our churches. That was the point. You're misunderstanding the Bible. You're saying, you're bringing that wrong. There was never an argument, ever, one point made against what was spoken. Everything you said was biblical. But don't preach that at our churches. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. But then we can always go further and further and deeper into this place. But when God is making a transition, because God is moving, I believe God is moving amongst message believers. But God is also bringing us further and deeper. If God was just saying, okay, this is my people and they have everything that they need of, that's true, the message is delivered, we have everything we need of, but we certainly didn't understand it in 1966 as a whole, as message believers, as we do now. There's been a long progression. So what happens, and you see it everywhere, God is moving, doing something, oh, that's not from Pastor so-and-so. That's not from this church. That's not from this person. And what is it? They fight against the revelation of the word. When God is bringing a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, he's watching to see, oh, can you take that? Can they receive it? Can they grab a hold of it? Then the next thing comes. Then the next thing comes. He does this as a whole amongst his elected people around the world. He does this in local churches. He does this with us as individuals. And it's one step here, one step there. Can you take a little bit more? And you say, ah, I'm going to fight this guy. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. God, it's not necessary for us to feel like we need to fight and defend the word. We just let the revelation help us to rise higher. And then as you see the Lord taking people and helping them to rise higher, you see other people trying to grab onto other people and not let them rise higher. You have to do it the way I'm doing it. It has to come from my group. And so when these transition times take place, are we going to allow the Lord to quicken us to the word? Is he going to, you can look at this and, again, I didn't grow up in the message. I have a different experience of how the Lord led me to that message. I think, how many of you here, raise your hands, grew up in the message? Sophie, pretty sure you should raise your hand. So you're growing up in the message, and you say, I know these things. I heard this bunch, and I'm a good kid. I'm not doing things that the other people are doing. You know, there's lots of weirdos and transgenders and purple-haired monsters out there that are pretending to be women, and they look like monsters, absolutely. So I'm not doing what they're doing. So I'm really good. The danger there is that you fail to recognize your own sinful heart. Sometimes we might need to ask God to reveal our own sinfulness to us. So I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, since the Lord saved me, I've in a perpetual process of realizing more and more how weak I am, more and more how much I need Him, more and more how sinful my own heart is. And so many times, young people that grow up in church, spiritual pride is the problem they're facing because they believe that they understand everything that they're hearing and that they're better than other people. And again, this is the exact approach that Pharisee took and said, God, I thank you. I'm not like this one, and I'm not like that one, and I'm not like this one. And you say, oh, I would never do that. That's horrible. If you don't really realize that you have done that, I have done that, then there's something the matter. There's something wrong. And it's spiritual pride is just as deadly as fornication and adultery and cursing. In fact, many times I would say that spiritual pride is worse than those other sins because it blinds you to your very own need for repentance and for transformation. Because in your own eyes, you're very, very good enough anyways. And again, this fails to recognize that every one of us are born with a sinful nature. Every one of us are wicked. Every one of us are born with a nature that turns and runs from God. And I'll put it this way. I don't know if it's, I was going to say I'll put it the nice way, but I'll just put it the direct way, is if you don't see and recognize the own sinfulness of your own heart, you're in spiritual pride. And you need a revelation of your own sinfulness so that you can get saved. Because until you realize your own sinfulness before God and that you're not acceptable to Him as you are, you're not acceptable. You have to be changed. You have to be made different. You have to be cleansed. You have to be delivered from that spiritual pride that causes you to reject the fact that you're a sinner. I grew up in the message, I'm a good kid. You don't understand, do you? Parents, we should make sure that our kids know the scriptures and know that they're wicked sinners in the sight of God. That's not very nice. It's not very nice not to tell them that. It's actually evil not to tell them that, not to teach them that. If they don't understand that, by the time they're a teenager, we've made a horrible error. You know, our kids, you can insult me all you want. My parents tell me much worse things than about me. And they're all true because they're from the scripture. And many times as parents, we can also put a complex on our kids because we think they're so good because we have a wrong viewpoint of them. Oh, my kids would never do anything wrong. Oh, no one talk to me about my kids. Because my kids are perfect. You're so stupid. If you really think that your kids are so good and so perfect, you're just as blind as the other people I'm talking about. Excuse me for being so rough, but it's the truth. Don't be blind about your own sinfulness. And if you don't know that your little kids are sinful, maybe open your eyes and pay attention to them once in a while. Stop ignoring them. Because if you didn't ignore them so much, then you'd realize that they're sinners and they need repentance and they need to change. And the biggest lack many times in churches in the day that we have, message churches and otherwise, is the fact that sin is not spoken of and our sinful condition and nature is not spoken of enough to where the people know that their condition and that they need Christ. We tell them how good they are and how great they are and how wonderful it is that they're paying their tithes to you. And pay a little bit more. No, that's not the job of the minister, is to not make you feel good. It's the job of the minister is to hold a mirror up to your heart so that you can realize what's going on and you can make it right with the Lord. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by hearing, with faith. I'm going to skip this portion because I've went a long ways. Hebrews 4, verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You can come to church every single service from the time that you're a little child and hear the word, and you'll be just as lost as somebody that never heard the word ever in their entire life. Why? Because the word preached has to be mixed with faith. If you're not coming here with faith in God to hear the word preached, you're not going to receive anything. If you're not going to come and pull on the word and seek, ask the Lord to speak to you personally, it's not going to happen, and your faith won't be anointed to receive the word. If you're here just to criticize what you're hearing, or you don't like it, or you're here just to shovel it over your head for somebody else, it's not being mixed with faith. And them that heard it, it's being mixed with all kinds of nonsense. The only way that the word can be effective in your life is when it's mixed with faith. If it's mixed with doubt, it's mixed with accusation of other people. If it's mixed with hatred, if it's mixed with anything besides faith, there's no profit. The word is preached, they hear it, but there's no profit from the flesh, and there's no help from the flesh. John 3, verse 3, of course, we're all familiar, but it just becomes like a word spoken, so I want to read it and go into it. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. So the issue here is seeing the kingdom of God. It's having a revelation of the kingdom of God for yourself, and you'll never catch that revelation without being born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that which is born of the flesh has the nature of the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit has the nature of the Spirit. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Amen. So it's not based on our own will. It's not based on our own choice. It's not based on us telling God how it's going to happen. It comes how God desires for it to come to us. "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So it's not based on our will, not based on our purpose, not based on our plan. It comes the way He desires, He purposes. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. "In Christ is the mystery of God revealed." One of my favorite quotes in the Message. Paragraph 234. What is the new birth then? You'd say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Amen. So the new birth is Christ revealed to you personally. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Seeing the kingdom of God is what? Seeing Jesus Christ. That's seeing the kingdom of God. And how are you going to see it? It's when Christ is revealed to you. Can you do that? Can you give yourself a revelation? Can you force yourself to have a revelation? No. God gives it to you by grace. 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So you don't have God without having Jesus Christ. So that's the condition of the Jewish nation today. They don't have Christ, so they don't even have God. Right? And that's the same condition that they were in when Jesus was there. He says, you don't know the Father. And so in order to be born of God, it's what? Come up to the altar and let's lay hands on you. It's believing. Can you imagine that? It's believing. You might need to come to the altar. You might need to, right? You might need to go to special meetings, and the Lord deals with you at special meetings. Good. I'm not against that, but again, what is it? It's believing. It's by faith. You receive the Spirit by what? By entering the prayer line. By the great man of God laying hands upon you. Maybe. Maybe, but that's not where your faith is lying. That's not what your faith is looking at. It's not looking at the man of God to pray for you to receive it. It's looking at Christ. It's looking to him to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And it takes faith. It's not a magical thing that if I come to the right place at the right time in the right spot in history, and if I stand on this mark and this person does this thing, then I'll get it. It's faith. Why are you making this so easy? I'm just making it what the Scripture is making it. Man makes it complicated. Man makes it difficult. It's also not merely believing, it's an experience. So you can say that you believe. Person says they believe, but they don't tremble, right? The devils believe. They don't tremble at God. They resist God. Many people believe in God. They even believe in the message. And what do? Their whole life? Resist him. Resist the move of the Spirit. Resist God speaking to them. Right? It produces a change. It produces a transformation. It brings forth faith in you. Brother Branham, who do you say this is, says, is there any here that hasn't received the baptism of the Spirit yet? Now you say, Brother Branham, I tell you, I shouted one time. That's very good. I spoke in tongue once. That's very good too. But that ain't what I'm talking about. How can you shout and speak in tongues and deny the Word? The evidence of the Holy Ghost is what? Believing his word. Always been, every age, if you can receive the word. Amen. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, it teaches us the word for this age. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So guiding us into the word for this age. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. For what purpose? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it's to bring a knowledge that comes by revelation through the Spirit of God. In Shalom, Brother Branham says, how would you know what's right? The manifestation of the spoken word of God being made manifest, light of the hour, certainly. There is what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is, believing the word of God when it's manifested. He was the Word manifested, and some of them denied it, laughed at it, made fun of him, and called him a fortune teller, some evil spirit. There is evidence speaking in tongues. There's evidence of the fruits. The only evidence there is when a man believe the written Word, when it's vindicated, walk in the light of it. Jesus was the light of the hour because he was the promised Word of the hour, and tried to tell them so, but they were too much in darkness to understand it. So is it today, now? Amen. One thing I want to comment, I think about this all the time. Young people always want to know. I want to know if I receive the Holy Ghost. They come in the prayer line. I'm afraid I don't have the Holy Ghost. And they go, there's this whole process that young people go through, and they're worried. Do I have the Holy Ghost? Don't I have the Holy Ghost? What if I don't have it? What if I've got this? And the thing about it is it is a mystery. It is a mystery. I cannot answer the question for you. I cannot pray the question into your head. It's a mystery, and a mystery is a divinely revealed truth, now revealed, right? But that there's still an element, a supernatural element to it. And that supernatural, and regarding to receiving the Holy Ghost, that supernatural element is, I can only look at the fruits of your life. And you can be deceived. I can be deceived by the outward fruits of your life. I could say, Pete, okay, you've done this, but over here you did this, and over there you've done that. I think you have the Holy Ghost. It really doesn't matter. It makes no difference what I think, whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. It doesn't make a difference what my wife thinks, what my children think, and even I can't say, okay, honey, to my daughters, okay, you have the Holy Ghost, this, this, and this. There's always a supernatural element to it, and it's always something that has to be made known to you personally as an individual, that you stand here and say, I'm walking with God. Oh, but I think this and I think that. Someone else says something, you say, just slides right off you. I know what I have. Nobody's going to take that away from me. It's that. That's the case. We would love to tell all the young people, look, okay, on this day, on this time, on this place, I know you've got it. Thanks. Now I know. It's not how it works for anybody. And so let's have questions and answers, and let's talk about the Holy Ghost. We have to preach about it. We have to answer questions. But at the end of the day, it comes down to there's a supernatural element to it that only you can know. No one else. But one day the Lord, in Broken Cisterns, Brother Branham said, one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out. And he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the word. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word. And I'll say further, it's not just receiving the word. You could say today, I received everything that Brother Jason said. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That doesn't necessarily mean that something has been quickened to you yet. It might be quickened later. It's those who are continuing in the word. If you continue in the word, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's not just a matter of in an instant I receive the word. It's you're always receiving the word. You've had a nature change. And the word comes forth, and you quickly say amen to it, and you live it. It brings repentance. It brings transformation. It brings you to the place where you're always walking in that word, and you're continuing in the word. And you'll have ups and downs, and you'll have times where you're mistaken, and where you think it's one thing, and then the Lord shows you it's another thing. But you're continuing with him down the road. John 6:44. Turn a little bit of a corner. Towards the close, John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so as we begin to look at that, we realize that it is, once again, we are helpless to quicken ourselves to the word. Only the Father can draw us unto the revealed word. Only he can do it. He says, no man can come to me. Let's linger on that for a moment. No man can come to the revealed word, which is Christ. You can't. You can't on your own. You can't make a decision for it and it be effective before God. There's only an exception. He says, there's an exception. The ones that the Father sent me draw him, right? So even that, it's not us, okay, now suddenly we can come to him. No, it's him drawing. It's him calling us. It's him changing us. It has to be him bringing that transformation. It's him that does the quickening. Perfect faith, Brother Branham says, and when we were sinners, alienated, without God in the world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. John 6:63. It's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. So in other words, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh gives no help at all. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's not our human effort. It's not our flesh giving help to God. It is God coming into our hearts and quickening us to the Word, taking that which was dead and making it alive. And it's God doing that. You say, oh my, now where am I at? This is the grace of God. This is the reality of who God is. It isn't a matter of you, okay, we're all born in this world and I was just lucky enough to be born into a message-believing home. Now I have the chance. Okay, great. God, dear God, please give me the Holy Spirit. Since I got, by chance, was born in this home, please give me the Holy Spirit. And God's going, well, I don't know. Maybe. See if you can be good enough for a while. See if you can go to enough youth camps. No, that's not how God operates his program. If you're believing the Word, it's because he's quickened you to that Word. This should encourage you because it's God's sovereign grace operating in your life, not of your own choosing, not of your own desire, not of your own will, not of your own human effort, but he has taken and quickened that seed gene inside of you to life by the Word. I would love to take everybody and sit them down and preach this to them and get the exact formula and we baptize them and suddenly the whole world is filled with the Holy Ghost. That is not how it works, and that's not how it operates. That's why it's a mystery, and that's why there's a supernatural element to it. God can only do it. But he ordains that we stand up here and we preach the Word and that you hear it with faith, and then the Word is quickened to your heart. That's how it works. In works is faith. Musicians, if you'd come. In works is faith expressed. Now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. There's where I want to say. There, just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith? It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. This takes it out of man's hands. God works through the means of men and women, right? But it's his working. And it's his power. And it's his grace. That's what we're totally relying on. That's what we're totally looking at. Moreover, this is Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this is God's work. It's his purpose. It's what he is doing. It doesn't even have you as a part of the process. It's him doing it in you. Do you realize God has done a sovereign work in your heart and in your life? Many times we're confused by things because of what other people have said, what other people have spoken over us, what you hear someone out there saying. But what is God speaking over your heart? What is he speaking into your life right now? He's not speaking confusion. He might be speaking correction. He might be speaking comfort, but he's speaking something. It's, are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you receiving what he said to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so reliant upon you, Lord, to do your work. Lord, we ask that you take the word and quicken it to every heart. Lord, that you'd bring change and transformation where it's needed, Lord, that you'd bring to each of us, Lord, repentance where we need to repent and make things right before you with one another or someone we fellowship with, Lord. May our hearts be tender to your Spirit working. Lord, move in a sovereign way in every heart, Father. Everyone has a different need. Everyone's facing different struggles and trials, but you're the same God for every person, and you have the same promises, Lord, for each one of us. We thank you for that, Lord. We want to commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Karen, do you know the song, The Goodness of God? Or Nate, do you know it? I mean, I know it, but let's stand, worship the Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercies never failed me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Amen.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing that second verse again.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, worship him, saints. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord, with us. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that in every circumstance of our lives, Lord, we can see how you've been faithful. Lord, even the things that are difficult, the trials, the painful things, Lord, you're faithful. Your goodness is there, Lord, moving in so many different ways, Father. Your grace, Lord, abounds even to the chiefest of sinners, Lord, and we know that redemption is a messy thing. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of sin that's involved in it, Lord. But that, oh God, that our Lord Jesus said, I'll take her. I'll take all your sins. I'll take everything. I will identify. With all your sins, I'll take them upon myself and redeem you. Lord, I thank you for that. Every sin, as the scripture says, every sin, if a man would repent, can be forgiven. Lord, even to the one who stoned your disciples, even to the one that spoke evil of you, Lord. You brought him low and brought him to repentance, Father. And so that's your love. That's your mercy, and it just abounds to us, Lord, and we're thankful for that. We pray, Lord, just into all the lives that are represented here and the places where there's needs, Lord, and we pray for redemption to come. We pray for the Redeemer to step up and say, and take these ones, take these situations, Lord, and bring healing and bring restoration and bring transformation, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for going after the ones who are broken, whose hearts are hurting. We thank you, Lord, for stooping low and condescending to us, Lord. We pray that you would, Lord, work miracles. Lord, we love healing. We love deliverance. We love to see you heal from cancer, Lord. But more than anything, we love to see lives redeemed. We love to see people quickened to the word, Lord, that they would be changed and that they would come and walk with you, Lord. We thank you for that. Be with us, Lord, as we go our separate ways and to the different Christmas family get-togethers, Lord. May your presence be with us, Lord. May your strength and comfort, Father, knowing there's many, many who are sick and even afflicted with different things in this time of year, Lord, we pray that you'd bring healing, that you'd bring health, Lord, that you'd bring strength, that you'd bring protection of strengthened immune systems, Lord, against viruses and sicknesses, Lord. May our bodies be strong and ready to fight against the enemy, Father. We commit ourselves, we commit each one to you, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. As all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You know that song? Starts out morning. I see you in the sunrise every morning. You're like a, what's that called, Amy? Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. See if I can find it. Morning, I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you've painted for me. A love letter in the sky, story. I could have had a really different story, but you came down to from heaven to restore me, forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. Oh, nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you.
Start at the top.
Morning, I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you've painted for me. A love letter in the sky. I could have had a really different story, but you came down from heaven to restore me, forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. Oh, nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you.